All right, take your Bible and go with me, if you would, to the Old Testament and go to the book of Exodus to begin. When we count our blessings and name them one by one, I would imagine that if we're looking at it from a physical standpoint, a standpoint of convenience and blessing, as we go through the list and begin to write it out, somewhere in there, somebody might write down the GPS. Some of you might be surprised to know that it hasn't always been a part of our lives. There was a time when you were traveling and you wanted to go somewhere, you had to have a large piece of paper with lots of lines and small names and lettering on it, and it was folded up several different ways, and so you had to unfold it and then fold it back to so you could see where you want, and you had to have somebody else to read the map, or you had to pull over, stop, look at the map, write out. I mean, it was called a map. How many of you ever heard of a map before? No. Okay. And you didn't have somebody that just telling you what to do, how far you're going to go before you're going to make your next turn and which direction to turn. And isn't that convenient? Isn't that nice to have something to give you direction? Now, it's not fail-safe. It's not perfect. But it's pretty good. And I seem to have been around a lot of it being used lately. Just the other day, we were trying to figure out. I think we could have figured it out without any problem. But Brother Tricky pulled out his phone and put it up, and it told us exactly where to go. Here's the route to go, and we went by the route. So GPS is a wonderful thing. Well, if I'm gonna talk to you tonight for a few minutes about the GPS of the redeemed. The GPS of the redeemed. I'm not exactly sure, but I think that where GPS stands for Global Positioning System. And somehow or another, satellite through satellite technology and the miracle of the internet, we have the ability, the satellite, to pinpoint where we are on planet Earth and where the place we need to go is, and then to plot a way for us to get from here to there and back. And that's the beauty of the system. So GPS, Global Positioning System. And I'm going to kind of redefine it for you tonight talk to you about what we as redeemed people have. So what we're going to do is we're going to follow the exhortation of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which tells us that the things which happened to Israel, the things which happened to the redeemed of the Old Testament, happened to them for our example or ensample, upon whom the ends of the world have come. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and verses 1 and 2 and verses 11 to 13. And I'll make reference to that again in just a minute. But Exodus chapter 13, and I'll begin reading in verse number 17. God has now delivered his children, the nation of Israel, the seed of Abraham, from Egypt. They are on their way to the promised land. And they are going to be pursued by a king, Pharaoh, who has changed his mind about letting them go. And in verse number 17, the scripture said, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly, that is, Joseph had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence from you. You remember that it was Joseph that came into Egypt initially of the children of Israel. And God sent him there providentially to prepare the way to save the seed of Abraham, to save the Israelite people. And once Joseph was on the throne in Egypt, then Joseph's dad and all of his brethren which are the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, came into Egypt, and they dwelt there for over 400 years and multiplied to a mighty host of people, a mighty nation. And God is now taking them out, and they remembered that Joseph did not want to be left behind. He made them promise that he would take they would take his bones with him, with them. So they did. Verse 20, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Go with me into chapter 14 now to verse number 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. So that the one, that is the Egyptians, came not near the other, the Israelites, all the night. Verse number 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. All right, now we will refer back to these passages, but go now to the book of Numbers, just a few books down forward in the scripture, the book of Numbers, and let's go to chapter 9, Numbers chapter number 9, and verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, so God gave them instructions about building a place where he would dwell in their midst, in the midst of the camp. It was called the tabernacle. It was a tent, but made specifically according to the instruction of God. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud, we read about that cloud back in Exodus, covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So again, we have that cloud at night appearing as it were fire. So it was always. The cloud cover it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. And when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So we've read what I'm going to classify as the account of God's GPS for His redeemed people. I'm going to use the letters GPS, which we have already identified as being the global positioning system. I'm going to suggest that GPS, in the terms of the redeemed, is God's presence sensed. God's presence sensed. Or maybe God's presence sensitivity. I believe that within the life or the heart of every child of God, God has placed His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the very presence of God that dwells upon this earthly tabernacle. And my positioning system spiritually is my sensitivity to the presence of God. God's presence sensitivity. The children of Israel, when they left Egypt, were always doing what? How many times a day do you suppose, momentarily, just for a second, but how many times a day do you suppose that they got in the habit of glancing toward the heaven? When maybe they felt that the supplies were dwindling and getting low, and they're looking up to see, is it time to move? Is it time to go? When the crowd is murmuring and complaining about the lack of God's provision or supervision or whatever, then is God moving? And not just for the sake of wondering if it's time to move, but think of the assurance that came to their heart. Think of the confidence that was produced in them when they could look up and see what they knew to be the presence of God, either in the cloud or in the fire. I would suggest that there is a tendency of redeemed people, because we are yet in the flesh, to have a different GPS than God has purposed for us to have. There is what I would call the GPS group pressure sensitivity. And we tend to move with the crowd rather than with the cloud. The pressure of the group wanting to move, wanting to change, wanting to go a different direction, wanting to go back or forward, or to the right, or to the left. But the pressure, because that's what the family's doing. That's what the tribe is doing. That's what others are doing. And I suggest to you that that is not what God wants you, or not how God wants you to determine His will and direction for your life. It's not supposed to be by the group pressure system, but rather by God's presence sensitivity. But there's another GPS that we tend to operate by. We all need direction. When it comes to our family, when it comes to our finances, when it comes to our church, when it comes to doctrinal stand, when it comes to practice, we need to know the way in which God would have us go. We need to know the wise way, the right way. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 107, I think it's verse number 7, speaking about God's leading the people by the cloud, it says He led them in the right way. God always leads in the right way. God is wise. God makes no mistake. So He always led them in the right way. We need to know the right way. So what are we going to use to determine the direction we take, the route we go? If it's not the presence of God, being sensitive to the presence of God, if it's not the group pressure syndrome or system or sensitivity, it might be the good presumption sensitivity. In other words, we are evaluating on our own in our own wisdom, in our own knowledge, what is best. And we presume that this way is good, or that way is good. And that if we do this thing, if we take that direction, if we make this change, if we go ahead and go, we are presuming that we will receive good. So we're looking at the options and saying, that looks good to me. But God does not want us to operate according to the good presumption sensitivity or system. He wants us to rather be sensitive to His presence. So think again. The cloud for Israel was a tangible, sensible, visible presence of God. And you might be saying, wow, why doesn't God give me that? Why doesn't God provide a cloud for us to follow, for our church to follow, or for us individually to follow? And we follow the cloud. Well, He does, in truth. It's just not the same. But Israel, in their day, and let me just suggest, this is a redeemed people in their infancy. In their infancy, in their childhood, in their beginning, they needed visible support, visible direction. And they were to follow the cloud and rely upon the cloud. Now, what did that mean for their life? In practical terminology, following the cloud or being under God's presence sensitivity means you can no longer plan. Remember how James said, go to now, ye that say, tomorrow we will buy and sell, or tomorrow we'll go into the city and do this and do that. And he said, you know not what the day may bring forth. But we as human beings are tending to plan our lives. In Egypt, the children of Israel planned their day. They planned what they would do. They planned when they would go to the market, when they would, whatever. They were in charge, or they were planning. But when they left Israel and were redeemed, the redeemed people of God, then God said, let me plan your life. Let me plan your future. You just follow my direction. I will lead you. I know where you need to go. I know where you'll find water. I know where you will find protection from your enemies, or where you will find escape from the enemies. He said He led them by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Why? Because the Philistines weren't there. And if they went through the way of the Philistines, they would see war. So God knows what lies ahead. And He knows where we need to go. As a Christian, if we're following God's presence, then what we need to recognize is that we're not supposed to be planning our own lives without an eye to Him. Looking to Him for approval. Looking to Him for direction. They were no longer in control or in charge. He was in charge. And it might be that they'd stay in one place for a day only, or a month, we read in Numbers, or even a year. Or more, the cloud would not move. Who's in control? God is in control. They are just resting in the wisdom of God's direction. In a spiritual sense, they were not being directed only by the cloud, but who told them that the cloud was to direct them? It was God, was it not? Through His servant Moses. So you'll notice back again in Numbers chapter 9, you'll notice this statement made several times. Verse 18, at the commandment of the Lord. Wait a minute, wait. They journeyed at the commandment of the Lord? I thought they were journeying when the cloud moved. Mm-hmm. The cloud is the commandment of God. You can't separate the command or will of God, the express will of God, from the cloud. And Christian, we cannot separate the direction of the Spirit of God from the spoken Word of God. The Spirit of God, that presence that is in us, that we are sensitive to, directs us by the spoken Word, which, by the way, He was the author of. And He is the illuminator of and the teacher of. So we are to be scripturally informed and spiritually sensitive, and we journey, we move, we go to the right or to the left, we stop, we go at the commandment of the Lord. We live in a PC world. The word PC stands for politically correct. And everybody decides what they're going to say or what they're going to do or how they're going to dress or where they're going to go or how they're going to behave by what is politically correct. What is acceptable to the multitude or to the crowd. That's the term we use. Or popular consensus, perhaps, would be a better term for PC. We live in a PC world. But God doesn't want us to live in a politically correct way. He wants us to live in a positionally correct way. We are to live in a PC world spiritually, but it's supposed to be a positionally correct. It is not what the crowd wants. It is what God says should be our position. God says, here's where I want you to camp. Here's where I want you to live. This is the place where you're going to dwell. And it is important to be positionally correct. And we don't move, we don't journey, unless God gives us clear commandment. It'd be perhaps a good thing for us tonight to determine we are not going to change our position on anything, on where we're going to live, or what kind of people we're going to be, except at the commandment of the Lord. Except by the moving of the Spirit of God or the quiet approval of the Spirit of God in our heart. The moving of the Spirit of God through the Word of God, giving us clarity that it's time to move. It's time to change. Not because the crowd is moving, not because it's politically correct or positionally correct, or the crowd's position, but because it's God's direction. So important that we live our lives accordingly. When I think about the cloud and the pillar of fire as well, but I'm going to refer mostly to the cloud tonight. It appears as a pillar of fire in the night. I want you to think of two words, which again are illustrative of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament era, for New Testament redeemed people. The cloud was their constant companion. Wherever they were, there was the cloud. And the cloud removed not from them. The cloud was with them, the scriptures we read said, always. Always. The Spirit of God indwelling the heart of a believer is an ever-present companion. Jesus said, I have to go away, but I'm not going to leave you without comfort or companionship. I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, in my name. And He'll be with you, and He'll keep you, and He'll guide you, and He'll comfort you. Don't let not your heart be troubled. I will not forsake you. He's a companion. The children of Israel never needed to feel alone. Now, wait a minute. There was an occasion, and we read about it in the 14th chapter of Exodus, when the Bible says the cloud removed. But it didn't remove far. It removed from over them or before them and went behind them. So the cloud was still there, but it wasn't in the place where they thought it should be or where they were accustomed for it to be, but it was still there. And what was it doing? According to Exodus 14, the Egyptians were pursuing, so the cloud moved behind the children of Israel so that it was between them and the Egyptians. And it darkened the path of the Egyptians so that the Egyptians could not find them, could not get to them, could not see them, did not know where to go or what to do next. And it was a light, the pillar of fire, a light to the children of Israel so that they would see and they would know and God could instruct them about going across the sea. So the cloud was not only their companion, but the second word I want you to know, it was their conductor. It was their conductor. It was to guide them. It was to lead them in the direction that they ought to go. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. God never intended Israel to carry the burden of daily stress and provision and care. He had already determined to provide for them, to take care of their enemies, to protect them. You understand that? It was never his purpose to deliver them from Egypt, but they got it mixed up. They thought, man, we've been brought out into the wilderness to die, to be lost forever. We need to go back, or would to God we'd have never left, because they're forgetting that they're trying to take on themselves burdens, stresses, cares that were never intended to be theirs. Always were the plan of God, or always was the plan of God, that he would take those responsibilities. I love that passage of scripture in Isaiah where God talks to his people about the idols. And he said, you know, you watch these people with their idols, their gods. And he said, they make them with their hands. And then they have to carry them. So every time they pack up and move, every time they journey, they've got to put that idol made of gold or silver or brass or wood. And they have to carry it. It's just another burden for them to carry. The idol never does anything for them. They carry the burden. But then God says, stop and think about this. I'm the one who gave you birth. I'm the one that created you. They create the idols and they have to bear them all the days of their life. But I created you. And then he says, and I fully accept the responsibility to bear you from your mother's womb unto the grave. To your hoar head, to your gray hair. That's my responsibility. I gladly own up to it. I gladly take it. Christian, are you listening? Are you carrying the cares and the burdens of this world unnecessarily? Are you worrying about the future and carrying all of the worry about what do I do next, or how do I go, or how do I solve this, or what's going to happen? Or do you rest in the knowledge that God has accepted responsibility for that? He has given you the Holy Spirit to be your comfort, your companion, and your guide. And if you will just follow the scripture, if you'll just honestly wait upon the Lord every day, look to heaven many times, just pause to think, God, am I going in the right direction? Lord, show me if this is the right way or not. Shut the door if it's not the way that I should go. If you're following the counsel of scripture, and by the way, you can't follow it if you don't know it. If you're not reading it, if you're not listening to God, you know, over and over again through the history of Israel, God spoke to them. God showed up and said, okay, here's what it's time to do. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to build. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do with your family. This is what I want you to do with the stranger that comes into your land. This is what I want you to do with your crops. This is how you do it. And so they had to be hearing the voice of God and then resting in the directions of God, and letting God take care of all the burdens. I'm thinking about if I had lived then and understood this principle, the cloud in my thinking would have made my life much more pleasant. I'm in the wilderness. It's pretty hot there. And what does the sun do? It provides shade and relief. And the presence of God for the Israelite would have made the camp more pleasant, more worry-free, less stressful, and the wilderness far less threatening to them because of the cloud. The presence of Almighty God is supposed to be the sum of the believer's joy, of the redeemed people's joy. God said, you have me always with you, and I will direct you. God has given us a guide, and his guidance is always in accordance with his word. You know, when Moses got the children of Israel to the door of the promised land, and they wouldn't go in, they wandered in the wilderness, they were still directed by the cloud. But what happened when Moses was gone? The cloud was gone. God said to Joshua, the next leader of Israel, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all, or do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then that's a good success. And under the leadership of Joshua, now that Israel, the redeemed people of God, was out of their infancy, God said, now I want you to live by faith. You're not going to see the cloud anymore. The visible presence, sight, is no longer how you live. You live by faith. And we mature in our Christian faith, and God then speaks to us by His Word and asks us to live by faith, to follow the counsel of His Word and allow Him to direct our steps. This is not original with me, but I wrote it in my Bible one day. Somebody was speaking and gave it, and I liked it. It's very simple and very practical. They said this: those who make the glory of God their end. Stop and think about that for a minute. If you're an individual who lives with the ideal of glorifying God, what you want to see accomplished in your life and through your life and through your decisions is the glory of God. Those who make the glory of God their end, the Word of God their rule. So it's hard to imagine that you can bring about the glory of God without following the Word of God. So if the glory of God is your end and the rule by which you walk is the Word of God, and the Spirit of God their guide, may be always confident that the Lord goes before them. If you as an individual have determined that your life is to be all you want is to bring glory to God, therefore the Word of God is going to be your guide, and is the rule of your life, and the Spirit of God is going to be your guide, you may be confident that the Lord goes before you. Even though you may not see Him, He is still present. He is still there. He sometimes goes before us as a guide, and sometimes He is behind us as a guard. He is a sun and He is a shield, according to Psalm chapter 84 and verse 11. You know, when Israel was facing the Red Sea and being pursued by Pharaoh's armies, and God moved behind them, they could still look back. The cloud was no longer over them, was no longer leading them forward, but the cloud was behind them, and they could look back and see the presence of God. And there are times when you may not be able to see the cloud, but can you not look back and see the leading of God in your life? Can you not look back and see how God has not failed you, how God has always led you and always guided you? I remember so well the days when I was a child. As a matter of fact, sometimes that's the only real childhood memories I have, are the times when I remember being terrified. I remember being anxious about things like the communists coming and taking over America, and we all living under communism as slaves. I mean, that was the big issue back when I was a boy. That was all the expectation, and we heard all about it, and from the news media, from the pulpit, and whatever. And I remember thinking about the coming of the Lord, and thinking I'm never going to get married, and I'm never going to have children. I'm never going to do this, and never going to do that, and so many things that we worried about in our past, and wondered whether we would make it or how we'd make it. You know, sometimes when we can't see the presence of God, what we need to do is look behind us. Look back and see the cloud. Look back and see how all the things that you feared and all the things you wondered how you'd make it through, or what was going to... Did you survive? Are you still here? Did the bill get paid? Did God meet your need? Did He protect you from the enemy? And so rest in the knowledge that the cloud may not be seen momentarily, but the cloud has been seen and is still there. Rest in the Lord. God wants us now in this generation to live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The more we depend on what is visible, the less faith is required. So God, in the maturing of His people, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, takes away the visible so that we may rest in what is invisible and walk by faith. The more we can see or sense, the less we trust. But God gave us the seeing and the sensing so that we could know that He is always there and is worthy of our trust. So tonight, what is your positioning system? What do you depend upon for direction? Do you operate according to the group pressure system? Or according to the good promise or the good presumption promise? What seems good, what seems right? Or are you depending upon the presence of God? Are you looking for the promise of God and the direction of God in your life? Let's be spiritually sensitive people. God does not intend for us to bear all the pressures and burdens and cares of this world alone. He wants to bear them for us, and He knows where the answers are found. He knows where the food is found. He knows where the enemy awaits. He knows the direction, and He will always lead us in a way that is right. Let's look to Him often, daily, as the children of Israel had to do, looking up and checking, is God moving? Does God want me to move? Lord, what do you want me to do? What is your will for my life? Father in heaven, bless your people as we ponder this truth. Thank you that the things that we've talked about that are recorded in the Old Testament were recorded for our learning, for our benefit. I pray that you would enable us tonight to determine where we stand in terms of finding direction for our future, finding direction in every area of our life. And may we never forget that the illustration was to show us that you are ever present and ready to guide us. And when it's time to move, you will make it clear to us. And when it's time to stay put, we're not to go anywhere, but to rest in you and to trust you as a good God who cares about our needs. Lord, help everyone in this room, the children, to be able to apply this to their life, to take something home with them about trusting God and knowing that God will always guide them both by His Spirit within and His Word without. And help mom and dad to take home a lesson. And Lord, you know where I'm at in my spiritual journey and my maturity. You know where every one of us is at. Help us make application to our lives, Holy Spirit, in a profitable way. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.